This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
Hey everybody, it's Stacy from Must Do Disney, and you are in the place to be, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Check it out.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 377 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. This is Ed, and on this week's show, we've got a new segment for you. We're going to be playing a game called Rank 'em 1, 2, 3. But before we do that, we need to talk to who we have on the show this week. First off, we have Lisa. Hey Lisa, how's it going?
What's going on, Ed? How you doing tonight?
Doing pretty good. Yourself?
I am fantastic.
Well, great to have you back on again. It's been a little while.
Just a little bit, but that's okay.
Yeah, definitely is. Along with Lisa, we have Sam. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
Not too bad, man. 1, 2, 3, uno, dos, tres, rank 'em. Let's go.
We had a really fun time with you on show 376. We had the great interview with Craig Skaggs, and Stan and you did a great job on that one. That was really fun.
Dude, the guy gets paid to draw pictures of Darth Vader and Boba Fett. Come on, man.
I was excited to hear about the way he got there, though. It was a really, really cool story.
It was good. Go back and listen to it if you have it.
Definitely. Also with us tonight is Melissa. Hey, Melissa, how's it going?
Hello from the frigid Midwest.
Oh, but you've got the trip planning going. That'll help.
Yes, for sure.
Well, welcome along tonight. And as I said earlier, we're going to be doing a new show segment idea. But before we get to that, some quick news from the parks. As we've been watching the past probably about 4 months, 5 months, maybe even longer than that, they've been working on the whole Tom Sawyer Island part of the Magic Kingdom.
Tom Sawyer Island, Ed, I guess, you know, you might as well take advantage of the opportunity that you've been presented and get some things cleaned up, get some things refurbished, and maybe even drain the rivers of America and, you know, fix that that thing on the bottom down there. I don't know what it is. It looks like a track, but I don't think it is.
Oh, well, that's one of those things that had people stumped for a short period of time. I was at Magic Kingdom, probably middle of December, and people were going, wait, there's a track there? they would drive it into the Haunted Mansion if there wasn't.
Could you imagine just the wind blowing through there, blowing that thing around? So, yeah, that's on a track. And that's also why they tell you when you're on the Friendship boats or you're on the Magic Kingdom shuttles or one of the resort shuttles that this is a freestanding thing, so it could get jostled around. So hang on.
Well, very cool.
I was shocked that people were surprised that the Liberty Bell is on a track, yet I have friends that have been Disney fans for years that didn't know that the ferry boats were freestanding vessels. They thought those were on tracks going through the Seven Seas Lagoon.
They're absolutely freestanding.
Yeah, that's a fun ride. Now, I'd love to see what the connection is on the bottom of the boats that connect to that track. I think that'd be kind of cool technology to see. The ones in Liberty Square, of course. So over the last couple weeks, we've been seeing a lot of big changes to the construction over there in that they're done. Last week, they started filling it back up again. We saw some great video of that as the water slowly filled up the entire area. And just, I think it was today, we heard the news that the Liberty Bell was back.
Liberty Bell not only back, but I saw pictures of the thing in front of the Contemporary, and my mind sort of exploded for a second.
Yeah, mine did too, seeing the one with the castle just in the background, lit up kind of in a blue-purpley color. It was just a great photo of seeing the Liberty Bell in that position and thinking, wait, what's going on?
How to get there was my first thought, and then clearly there were tugs pulling the thing along. It wasn't driving because the thing's on a on a track, as we just talked about. So I immediately went to Google Earth. I'm like, I got to figure this out because I've never tied this stuff together. Come down on the Magic Kingdom, zoom out, and you come pretty quick to realize that over where they park the water pageant, where they built the bridge now so that you could walk from the Magic Kingdom over to the Grand Floridian, that connects all the way back to the Rivers of America. There's a dam back there where they can control the water level. But I guess I never realized that if you kept going all the way back there, you'd connect to the Rivers of America behind the train almost. So that was interesting to see.
And that's one of those, what makes you a Disney nerd? Because I did the same exact thing. I'm
right and I was
onto the map and I'm like, wait a second. Does that waterway really go all the way back? Yep, it really
it does.
Goes all the way back there.
And I wrote
the next
down,
thing I did, Lisa, was try to figure out if they could get it over to Epcot without taking it out of the water. And it doesn't look like they can do that, but they can get it to some of the resorts in a lot of places. There's a show there somewhere at the waterways of Disney World, because there's really three major waterways, and that's one of them that we're talking about. And it connects everything around those resorts all the way inside of the Magic Kingdom, and it's an amazing feat of engineering, especially when you think there's a tunnel underneath the thing. You go under that waterway when you go up to the Magic Kingdom past the Contemporary. It's crazy.
That's the fun, the water bridge.
And
talking about nerds, I made notes to get on Google Earth when we're done tonight and take a look. So I'm thinking where they dock the light parade, they have where that canal.
Exactly.
I want to follow that canal back now and see
just
how far that
keep
goes.
Keep following it back and you'll be like, son of a gun. It looks like there's a dam there where they can control the water level of the Magic Kingdom outside of Bay Lake. But outside of that, it's all one waterway.
Nice. Well, very cool. Okay, guys. So for tonight, what we're going to do is play a little bit of a game. We like to talk about parts of the parks and kind of compare our memories or our thoughts or kind of what we think just in general. Tonight, what we're going to do is play a rank 'em 1-2-3 game. So basically what I'll do is I'll tell each of our co-hosts, I'll give them three items. They'll come back to me with the order they rank those items, 1, 2, 3, and maybe a couple words about why they decided that order. How's that sound, guys?
I'm up for it.
Let's start listing off these attractions.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
So for tonight, we're going to kind of stay mainly with attractions. I have a couple things off of that list a little bit, but mainly attractions. And if this idea works and people like it, we'll probably come back and do another one for restaurants or hotels or whatever idea we can come up with. Okay, who wants to go first?
Spin your wheel, Ed.
We'll be here too long waiting for that.
That's right.
Okay,
I'll go first.
Okay, we will go with Lisa first. And we're going to start out with something over in Animal Kingdom. And what I want you to kind of put into the order that you think is 1, 2, 3 are the walking trails. So we have Gorilla Falls, we have the Discovery Island trails, and we have the Maharaja Jungle Trek.
Wow. It's like I drew the short straw.
And you're talking like personal opinion, right? That's what you're after here, right?
Well, definitely.
Yeah. So for me, I have to scrape back in my memory. I haven't been to Animal Kingdom in probably a year now at this point. And I live and work 5 minutes from it. So
yeah, it happens.
I would probably say if I had to rank them 1, 2, 3, if you will, I love the Maharaja Jungle Trek. That is my top.
Okay.
Gorilla Falls would be my number 2. And my number 3 would be the Discovery Island Trails.
Nice. So what about the Maharaja Jungle Trek that catches your eye or gets you there every time?
So the Maharaja Jungle Trek is, that's the tigers are there, right?
Yep.
That's exactly what I think.
The bats, that's the tigers.
The bats I could take or leave, truly. Those things are terrifying. But I really like the tigers there. At Gorilla Falls for obvious reasons, but then I just don't think I put a lot of credit into the Discovery Island trails, and I'm probably missing out there. I'm probably missing some important animals or some fun things to look at, but if I were to make that choice, that's probably what I would be doing.
Very cool. How about you, Sam? Where do you think you stand on this?
I'm in about the same thing. I want to start by just Animal Kingdom in general, because before we started recording, we were talking about things we've done here recently. And I have to tell you that Disney Plus, that Magic of Animal Kingdom series, definitely has a new appreciation for the things that go on over there at Animal Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
100%.
I've absolutely had two reservations since I watched that. I've had two reservations to go to that park. It has just rained both days, so I chose not to go.
Mm-hmm. And I can see why you choose not to go.
that made me really want it. They did a great job with that, because it makes me really want to get to Animal Kingdom.
And it's actually made me think maybe I'll get on the train and go out to Planet Watch and see if something's going on in the hospital, because that was never on my radar previous to. I mean, I've been there, we've gone, the kids did the petting zoo, and I'm okay, that's it, let's get out of here. But I think I might even go back. It's definitely given me a new appreciation. When you look at what they've done with the rhinos, what they've done with the giraffes, the zebras, it's amazing there. But the tiger is really what I think is cool. And you know, giving the tiger the pumpkin and putting the meatballs inside it and watching it try to get it out just reminds me of my house cats, right?
And so they were hiding those. I thought it was kind of cool seeing how they had the entryway into that exhibit too, when the tigers came on scene. What's the term?
On stage.
On stage, right? Exactly. Just like a cast member.
You're right, because you get to see kind of what happens when they go around the corner, because they come out down underneath you. So clearly, the spectators are on top of that enclosure that the tigers are in when you're walking through there. That's kind of cool. But I'd just sort of put them in the same order. I want to see the tigers first, and then we'll probably go over the gorilla second. And the Discovery Trails at Discovery Island, to be honest, I don't spend that much time on them, just because we tend to be going through there to get to something. I know, as much as we say don't do that, I don't spend a lot of time on those trails, unless we're going for a character like a Pocahontas or something like that, which clearly we're not doing during the pandemic.
Right. How about you, Melissa?
Yeah, I'm in the same order as mm-hmm. Lisa and Sam, too. But I wanted to say that the Discovery Trails, I had a completely new appreciation for them after the Nerds Meetup, where the scavenger hunt was at Animal Kingdom. And we had to spend a lot of time in there and really looking at the tree and identifying animals.
Nice.
And then realizing which animals have kind of habitats through there. Sometimes they're more hidden or they're not out as much. And then we had come upon the kind of the bird show that's kind of spontaneous that was happening. It's also featured in the Animal Kingdom show that we were just talking about. So yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. I did not think about that Discovery Trail as ever doing that before until we did that meetup. So definitely would go back and pull up your scavenger hunt and do that again, because that was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Thank you for that.
Nice job, Ed.
Yeah, I would call the Discovery Island Trails probably a means to an end versus a destination.
Yeah.
But that macaw show that you're talking about, isn't that fantastic?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And they had a segment on either the Animal Kingdom Zoo shows or the Inside the How They Do Things at the Parks documentary, where they had them, how they were training them. They had a new one coming on stage. Mm-hmm. So it was very interesting seeing that. Quinn was in the show that one time. We were there for that trip. We did the Animal Kingdom thing. He got to stand there while they landed on him. His outstretched arms and
that's
stuff
cool.
like that. Yeah, it was fun. And thank you again for that, Melissa. That means so much to me that you got to do something you've never done or hadn't really spent a lot of time to, and you really liked it.
I could see you smiling through the radio.
Oh, but no shit. So now, and also, if you didn't say it, I would have also, Discovery, the Island Trails, I would have also put it third. But I got to say, as a real shout out, it is a fun half hour, 45 minutes of really walking around, looking up at the tree at angles you've never seen before and animals you've never seen before, you know, on the tree. Plus, there are a lot of live animal exhibits around it. But, okay, well, very cool. Hey, that was fun first round there.
It was.
Okay, Sam, you're going to go next. Excuse me. And we're going to go on a spinning trip now. We're going to go to the Magic Kingdom. And your three are going to be between the teacups, Aladdin's carpet ride, and the Dumbo ride.
So I'll start with, there's a big difference in the teacups if I'm with my kids or not. because they will do everything they can to spin me absolutely as much as they can, and that is last on any list that I'm in. I could probably manage it on my own without them adding the extra spin, but I'll go Dumbos just because it's Dumbos, and I love the Dumbos. The double Dumbos are great. I'll even hang out in the playground. So Dumbos first, then I will do the it was the Dumbos. What was the second one?
It was the teacups. The Aladdin carpet ride,
oh, Aladdin and Dumbo. The magic carpets of Aladdin and then the teacups. Just because the teacups, to me, it depends who I'm in there with.
They so have Dumbo, that second motion.
Aladdin teacups.
Very definitely. Cool. Awesome. Awesome. Like, and as far as Dumbo, when was the last time you were on that?
Oh, I want to say it was on Dumbo last trip. It's one of those things we sort of do every trip. Once.
And the line still goes through the tent no matter what?
I was there before COVID. I don't know exactly what's happening there now, but oh, yes, true. you could spend some time in the playground if you wanted to. We typically don't because I don't have little ones of that age anymore, but it's definitely a place to let them unwind a little bit. And you could take a sit down for a second and then get on the Dumbos.
Nice. Melissa, what do you think about those three?
So yeah, I'm Dumbo first. Partly, you know, sentimental, good memories of Dumbo with my son, and just a lot of fun. I also selfishly like the queue. You get to sit in some air conditioning, and even the fast pass queue is covered. So it's just a nice, relaxing queue in my mind. And then would be teacups. Again, just that nostalgic, quintessential Disney ride. I think it's from the commercials, you know, in the 90s of the kids swirling in the teacups. This is just a lot of fun. And carpets would be last for me. And that's because of the queue. It just is hot. It's in the sun. It kind of feels carnival-y because you're in the middle of that hub between Adventureland.
Right. With the metal fences around you.
Yeah, the fences around you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's like water and people. That I don't know the last time I was on carpets. I feel like it would have been 15 years ago.
Wow. So yeah, I agree. Nice one. Good. My only thing with those three is that teacups, first ride in Disney World where I actually did not enjoy myself. I'm not a big teacup fan anymore.
So I don't not like them. I just would rather watch people than do it.
Right. And like Sam pointed out mildly, is that you've got the spinning motion, you got the spinning motion of the ride itself and then the car itself and the four you're with, the four teacups. But then you also have, of course, the wheel in the center of your teacup that you can spin too. Okay. I'm getting queasy thinking of it. Okay. Lisa, what was your thoughts?
For nostalgic reasons, I'll go with Dumbo for sure. As my number one, my number two would be Magic Carpets, because you've got just like Dumbo, I believe, although I've only been in the front in Dumbo, but you have the ability to do multiple controls in Magic Carpet. So what you have different controls in the back than you do in the front. And I like messing with my kids. And
who doesn't?
Then I am just too large a cup of tea for the teacups, if you will. I do not fit comfortably in any of the options that are available as a human being. I rode in the teacups for a Halloween party, not this past year. They didn't have any, but the year before, right, for the overlay. And I probably hadn't been on them since I was 8. And I was like, well, this explains why. It's not my least favorite spinny ride at Magic Kingdom, but it was not an enjoyable experience.
Gotcha. Melissa, you're going to do the next set, and we're going to go to, okay, let's get specific. Spaceship Earth, is that a ride you go on a lot?
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, here we go. Let's go. I'm going to give you three scenes from Spaceship Earth, and I'd like you to rank those.
All right.
Okay, the first one would be the Pharaoh, coming up there and seeing him in the Papyrus Pounder. After that, we come to the Roman scene, the Romans and the end of knowledge as we know it, and that great smell. And then the top and the computer scene, that is probably the newest scene in the Spaceship Earth. What do you think between those?
This is a really tough one. We go on Spaceship Earth every time, and we do it in multiple languages because we know the whole script. So it's fun to hear it in different languages even. I think the Pharaoh scene for sure is number one. I don't know. There's just something, how big everything is, and it's peaceful, and you're really setting the scene. And then, of course, the fall of Rome, the smell. We have that candle and everything to kind of remember being at Disney, that smell. And then the computer one, it's fun, but it's nothing maybe new. You know, we it's kind of like the end scene of Carousel of Progress, where you kind of laugh at it. And it's like, well, this is supposed to be, you know, the future or the current, and it's so outdated. It's kind of funny. So.
Yeah. Very cool. Very nice. Okay. Lisa, what do you think?
Boy, I might actually be the one different selection here. So my number one scene is the Pharaohs. I agree. I really like that scene. My number two scene is the computers. There's something I find immensely entertaining about the futuristic feeling of the 70s.
So much promise.
70s characters there. And then I'm not a big fan of the smell of the Rome. Rome is burning smell, if you will. I will say, though, of all the three of them, it's not my favorite.
Right. That's fine.
Yep.
Awesome. How about you, Sam?
Oh, come on. She's just leaving it out there. What is your favorite, Lisa? Favorite scene?
My favorite is the... when they jump into moving pictures.
Yes. Cool.
Yep. I love the cinema.
Turn of the century.
Yeah, the turn of the century, the cinema, the Jesse Owens clips, the extra read all about it scenes. Like that's my favorite scene in Spaceship Earth.
Yeah, I love that scene in the house where they're showing them landing on the moon. And you've just come out of that big rush in the music. I love that part of the scene.
Oh, and they've got, what's the game they have in the living room? Is it Life or something?
Oh, no,
set
it's
up?
A mousetrap.
Mousetrap. Mm-hmm. Yep. Very cool. Okay. Awesome.
Sam.
Quick. So I will, you know, I thought about this a little bit. I'll go with the computer scene first. Just because I love pointing out to my kids the reel-to-reel tape and the fact that people really use those things. and I can talk about punch cards and do the same thing every time. And they're like, yeah, we know, Dad. We know. So I got that one. I'll do that first. Then I'll go with the Pharaohs, and then I'll go with the smell, only because, you know, burnt coffee only goes so far for me. So,
yeah.
Is the turn of the century scene your favorite, Sam, or do you have a different favorite?
You know, I like the very top when you come around the corner and you see the globe, and I think mm-hmm. that has so much potential, and I was so looking forward to see that top of Spaceship Earth completely done in 360-degree video, and I guess we'll just have to wait till the next refurbishment.
Yep, very cool. I do like the computer scene. That totally is reminiscent of my whole coming up from, like, grade school, high school. I remember the Cub Scout tour through the computer place where they had the reel-to-reels and stuff like that. And the bonus, when they had that scene on the desk as you're going by on the right, there's a JCL book. I was using that at work at the time.
Job control language.
Yeah, there it is.
I'm well aware of it.
And plus the garage. That's always a bonus, too. You see the garage where, quote-unquote, it all started.
The garage where it all started, which, by the way, I was at a conference that Steve Wozniak presented at in Disney World. It was an analytics conference, and somebody asked him the question if it was him or if it was Steve Jobs in the top of that scene. Wozniak, of course, is the nerd that was always tinkering with the Apple stuff, and Steve Jobs was the marketing genius behind the whole thing. And his answer was, clearly it's me because Steve couldn't build anything.
Great answer. So we're going to move on, and Lisa, you're going to take the next set, and we're going to jump back over to the Magic Kingdom, and we've got three, I guess, kind of slow rides to talk about, and we're going to put these guys in order of Peter Pan, Winnie the Pooh, and It's a Small World.
Yep, I knew this was coming. I knew this was going to be
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, Here's my problem with this. First of all, let's just discuss one and two, because three is just a guarantee for me. There is a sentimental feeling to Winnie the Pooh. It's Angela's favorite set of characters. When I ride Winnie the Pooh, for you older people, I don't ride Winnie the Pooh. I ride Mr. Toad. So when we're on Winnie the Pooh, my brain isn't on Winnie the Pooh. My brain's on Mr. Toad. So it probably has to be number one for me, even though I think Peter Pan is just fantastic. I do have, you know, great memories of the first time I ever rode Peter Pan and the track, the bottom falling out and the track holding you up and my uncle swearing. Because he didn't know what had happened. He thought we were going to evidently fall to our death.
There are so many questions I have for you, but I'll save them for later.
But, for me, it's got to be Winnie the Pooh first. And that's why. It sounds crazy, but it's because in my head, I'm riding Mr. Toad. And then Peter Pan. And then, of course, that horrific... horrific attraction there across from Peter Pan.
That's understood. But before we move on to somebody else, I want to know, is there any ride at Walt Disney World that would rate lower than It's a Small World?
Yes.
And?
That was quick.
The Astro Orbiter.
Yeah, fair enough. I get that one. We'll have to put that one on the list.
If somebody told me I needed to ride It's a Small World 5 times in a row or ride the Astro Orbiter once, I'd be on It's a Small World 5 times in a row.
And loving it. Okay, very cool. Had to ask. Sam, you're up to talk about Peter Pan, Small World, and Winnie the Pooh.
I ride all of them. Every time I go, ride them all. Have no problem with any of them. If I were to put them in order, you'd have to go with, I'm going to put them in order based on there being no line or a minimal line to ride them, because that tends to be the drawback for Peter Pan. That's your fast pass. That's the one you try to get to, because I don't want to wait 60 minutes for it. But if there's no lines, I'm going to do Peter Pan. Then I'll do It's a Small World and Winnie the Pooh, just because It's a Small World's right across the street there. But it's really a toss-up for these things. I'll do them all.
Very good. Melissa?
I'm going to actually say of the three, It's a Small World would be number one for me. Only because I can't remember which tour, Magic Kingdom tour, either Keys to the Kingdom or the Keys to Marceline.
Yeah,
I think it's
that one, and I know where you're going with
this. I think it's the Marceline one, yeah. And they give the history, and we talk through the poem is the song, and I just really appreciated everything about that ride so much more, and the small details of the dolls and what the whole goal was with UNICEF at the time, and that nostalgia of the World's Fair. I've always had a thing about the World's Fair. So yeah, It's a Small World, although before doing that tour, I definitely would have ranked it as the lowest. And then I think Winnie the Pooh, I agree with Lisa. I think about Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, and I like to find the hidden Mr. Toad Easter eggs in the ride. And then Peter Pan, I think I actually go on Peter Pan for the queue. I actually appreciate the queue better than the ride. So.
I actually kind of agree with that totally. Let me rephrase that. I like Peter Pan. I don't get the lines that are formed for Peter Pan, though. That makes no sense. The ride doesn't stop, yet it has a line that's always so huge. And the ride itself, it is nice because it dates back, but it is a little older. They can keep repainting it. It still looks the same. And the queue is great. I mean, the queue is one of the best rebuilt queues of the that new generation, so I totally get that part. Winnie the Pooh, I dug because that was the first ride where they started using that the alternative motion on the ride. Instead of just going through it like the Omnimover, you had the up and down, or you had the floating when the flood came, or Tigger hopping. So they were able to kind of mimic that so well that was a ride that the kids got me on that I really appreciated it because then I liked going on it anyway. Okay, well, very cool. Sam, you are up next. And we're gonna jump out to the wide picture here. And the three things you're going to rank now are Disney Hollywood Studios, Epcot, or Animal Kingdom.
Mm. Oh my. There's such a huge... I'm going to preface this with before pandemic. Can I do that or should I go based on now?
Because no. You
I
can
don't
do
know
it.
How to do it now.
You can. I would say pandemic has nothing to do with it.
Okay. I'm going to go Epcot, Studios, Animal Kingdom. Although that might not be the order in which I visit those.
And
Epcot World Showcase, absolutely amazing. Love it. But Studios, back when the Star Wars fireworks were there, and Galaxy's Edge, absolutely wonderful. Animal Kingdom, I'm still leaving halfway through the day. So that's my order. It's Epcot, Studios, Animal Kingdom. But I'm going to go to all of them.
Right. That's a given. Yeah. Okay, how about you, Lisa?
Oof, here's my problem is, what time of year is it?
Yeah.
Daytime, is it nighttime?
You're going to have to average it out. You're going to have to average it out.
You're totally a local now, Lisa.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I wish I had those problems.
It matters to me only based on ambiance, but I would probably say... my number one is Studios. My number two would be Epcot. My number three would be Animal Kingdom. I like Studios. I love Studios at night. I like Epcot in the morning. And I'll take Animal Kingdom when I can't get into the others.
So Studios and Epcot, you kind of have it, I guess, switched around as far as the like nighttime thing goes, I would have thought. But that's a great perspective. I guess Epcot now without fireworks is kind of like not a good thing, but.
Even with fireworks, I loved Studios. If you make it holiday season, I'm even more so at Studios at night than I would be at Epcot or Animal Kingdom. There is something about the decor in the evening, the lights in the evening at Hollywood Studios, Toy Story Land, even Galaxy's Edge is just so much better, I think, at night. But Sunset Boulevard is gorgeous at night.
And those
two. Around Echo Lake is beautiful at night. There's just something. I like it so much better. And Epcot is just so dark at night. It's just, to me, it's a much better daytime park.
That's great observation. And you are right. I remember seeing nighttime pictures of Toy Story Land, and it is night and day, literally, as far as how it looks. Two different lands. The same with Galaxy's Edge. It's breathtaking how different Galaxy's Edge looks at night.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. How about you, Melissa? Where are you at with this?
No questions asked. Epcot is number one for me. I love all the festivals. I love the food that's available during the festivals and the art and the shows, the people who will come in to perform Epcot all day, every day. Yep, definitely.
Okay.
And then I'm a little torn between Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom. I think I'm going to put Animal Kingdom before Hollywood Studios, only because I think there's more things still for me to do that can be both thrill ride and relaxing and kid-friendly at Animal Kingdom, where Hollywood Studios still feels to me a little theme parky and a little bit more rushed from I've got to get I feel more stressed in trying to get to one thrill ride to the next. And what if I don't get that fast pass? So it's fun and it's great, but it's a little bit more of a busy day, I feel like, for me on trips.
Getting your point of view, that would have been my point of view if my kids were still were as young as yours is.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So it's all in perspective of the Absolutely. Age of your children who you're traveling with.
Sure, yep. But I get that about Hollywood Studios. You're right. You are a little bit. That's the park you're under pressure to do things, as opposed to Animal Kingdom is pretty much laid back once you get a couple of those rides you want done. Very cool.
I think the tiered fast pass system of Hollywood Studios feels more unfair for some reason, because it's like all these really good rides are like, and you can only pick one. So there's always sure. this like, get up and be there at rope drop. And okay, we're going to strategize. That's my park that I have to really strategize my plan and my route, I think.
Right. And it's all based on getting on Rise of Resistance. Yep. And it's going on to, you know, a year now, I guess the ride's been open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. My Epcot would be my first park, definitely. After that, you know, the reasons Melissa brought up are pretty cool as far as why Animal Kingdom is going to be my second. Hollywood Studios is my third, but it's very close. Galaxy Edge is a big determination that brings Hollywood Studios up. But you're right, it is a little bit stressful there. Okay, awesome, awesome, awesome. Melissa, you are up for the next one. And we're going to go off the attraction board real quick and jump into something a little bit fun. We're going to go for snacks. So three snacks that you can get, you're going to have to rate. And they're pretty basic as far as Disney World goes, so hopefully we've all had a chance to try some of these. Popcorn, the ice cream Mickey bar, or the Mickey pretzel. You can find them at all the parks. And like I said, they've been there for years.
Can I admit that I have never purchased any of those three things?
Purchased first. Wow. Purchased versus yes. trying
take
or
those
eating.
Odds to Vegas.
I know. They don't stand out to me as being something that I can't have elsewhere. You know, I can have popcorn anywhere, and I don't care for the Mickey pretzel. The only pretzels I'll get are in the Germany pavilion because I love the mustard, yeah.
The mustard, yes.
Yeah, and Mickey bars, I just feel like they're a mess.
They are.
I'm going to go off of what I perceive they would be like, because again, I think that they are what they are.
Sure.
Mickey bar, popcorn, because I could probably get a cool souvenir out of it, you know, the yeah. containers, and then the pretzel.
Okay. Very cool. And just as a cool footnote, the only reason I consider these is because they tended to be, when the kids were very small, the plain items that they were easily able to like eat and accept without having to, you know, kind of explain what it was and why it's good for them and all that other crap. That was their usually definite. It's not much the ice cream, but the popcorn and the pretzels.
Yeah.
Lisa, what do you think?
Oh, this is where my kids have dictated how I mm-hmm. eat park. My number one is popcorn. Only just because it is truly a staple. It is something that we get pretty much every time we go. And it's a good thing for my kids to snack on and to get the bucket and then refill. And if you're a local, you just bring the bucket back with you. Is just a slam dunk for me. The pretzel is probably number two. And then the ice cream is number three, and I've had the popcorn and the pretzel. I have never bought a Mickey ice cream. And this is where having a kid with allergies, you know, when my girls were younger, both of them had allergies. Now just one has allergies, but having a kid with allergies dictates exactly what it is that I purchase, and milk and egg allergies certainly have an impact on not getting any ice cream bars at the parks, even when I'm there by myself. But the popcorn is allergy friendly, so they both can have everything there.
Nice. How about you, Sam?
Popcorn, Mickey pretzel, Mickey bar. Popcorn, best value there is because of the refills. You buy it when you first get there, you use it all week and refill that thing. The pretzels the kids love, and the Mickey bars are last. I love them. I have them in my freezer. I eat them at home a lot, although they're smaller than what you get down there. They're tough to eat, especially on a hot sunny day.
Right.
They're really messy, really fast. That's the only reason they're last. But Ed, it's like you took the T-shirts out of my closet for those 3 days.
Do you remember what the refill price was for popcorn?
It's $1.25 the last time I was there, and that was up from 75 cents to a dollar, and then $1.25. It might be $1.50 at this point.
That's really good. You're right. That's a great value.
It's a fraction of the $10 for the bucket the first time you buy it.
Yep.
Sure.
Bucket.
Sure. And the only thing I have an issue with is the ice cream bar is that I never thought they would last long enough as far as going to town. They usually were too much of a mess to deal with, so we usually dealt with the dry stuff. Awesome. So it was kind of fun. Okay, Lisa, we're going to go one more round. And I believe I got everybody for two each, correct?
Sounds right.
Awesome. So here we go. Lisa, round three. We're going to go a little slower now. We're going to go over to Epcot, and we're going to rank 1, 2, 3, the movies in France, Canada, and China.
Oy.
And as far as France goes, existing show doesn't count. We're only talking the movies. Because they have
Impressions de France.
Correct.
Oui. And the new Canada.
Far and wide.
Far and wide.
Yes.
And then Reflections of China. Wow. Okay. So. This is tougher than I thought it would be. I would say number one is Reflections of China. Number two for me would be Impressions of France. And number three would be Canada Far and Wide. So... Okay. Reflections of China. There's just something I really like about it. They're supposed to be updating that. I'll be sad when they make those updates. I really do like. I like everything about that pavilion. But I do like that Circle Vision movie. I choose Impressions of France over Canada Far and Wide because there's seats.
Okay, fair enough.
Nice, cool auditorium.
Oh, and that,
Good
to know, because I was going to ask you if the Martin Short or the earlier version would have changed your mind on that. So I guess that would be no.
Yes. You know what? It absolutely would have.
Oh, okay.
Believe it or not, it would have.
You'll stand for Martin, Marty.
I'll stand for Martin, and I love Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy. It doesn't have anything to do with them. How that was taped bothers my eyes. The old one didn't, but the new Canada Far and Wide really messes with my head.
Okay.
I have a really hard time with it.
Fair enough. Okay, cool. Melissa, what do you think about those three?
This was harder than I thought it would be when you first started naming shows at Epcot. I think I would do Canada first, only because I haven't seen the new version, so I'd want to go and see it. And then probably France, because I can sit and cool off. And I'm a Beauty and the Beast fan, so I like the opening sequence with the music and, just then the ambiance of the French scenes. Mm-hmm. And then China. I still love the China one. It reminds me of my trip there, and I'm excited to see the updates in the future.
Nice. Very cool. How about you, Sam?
I one reason and one reason only I'm going to say France first is because I can sit down. You're walking around World Showcase all day. You want to sit down and watch what's happening. As much as I love the Circle Vision and the things all around you, the curtains come around. It's a pretty big open place. And I like looking at the, it's dated at this point, right? But you can sit down in there. Come on. That's the one reason. Then I think I'd go with Canada next. I did like Martin Short better. Canada is just a fun pavilion to be in. And then China last, which is probably the one that I go to the least. But there needs to be more seats back there. Come on, we're walking around World Showcase all day. Being able to sit down for a little bit is a great little bonus of going in there.
Had you put the American Adventure up against some things, it would have been a little bit tougher, I imagine. But throwing those two Circle Visions in there.
Well, that's the thing. How many people are going to sacrifice the seat for the show? And you said with Martin Short, it would have been.
Awesome Planet. I go to Awesome Planet because of the seat there, right? Up in the land.
Yep.
Haven't seen that one yet. Looking forward to it. I agree with pretty much what everybody said with this one, although I would pick China first. I really like the poet. I like how he talks to you, and you're part of that movie more than you are the others, especially Canada now. Marty Short was great. that was funny. And the inside jokes about going to Soarin' was great at the end. And I thought that was, again, personable, and that made that a fun movie to stand through or lean.
Absolutely.
And what's cool about France is that I really like, just because the music I'll hear everywhere, and I relate it back to that. So I don't know if it's good or bad. Since it's classical music, I should know it from outside of Epcot. Okay, Sam, you are up next, and we're going to go over to the Animal Kingdom, and I call this the rope drop rank 1, 2, 3.
Ooh.
We have the Safari, we have Flight of Passage, and we have Everest. What are you going to? What is your 1, 2, and 3?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. Now typically, I would say one of these I'd typically knock off the list because I'd be holding a fast pass for it. So if I were planning this in general, that's how it would work. But I got to say, I'm going to go to Flight of Passage first just because that line's going to be ridiculous otherwise. Safari second, and Everest tends to thin out later in the day, and I can always grab a single rider line on Everest. So that's the way I'm going. It's going to be Flight of Passage, Safari, Everest.
Cool. Melissa, how about you?
I like that strategy, Sam, and I think I support it. I think that would be a good strategy to recommend and do. I just would be worried I wouldn't get on Everest, and Everest is my favorite.
Got it.
So yeah, I think I would have to do it and just really hope that I can get on Everest, or have to wait out the line, or like you said, do the single rider and maybe split up the party a little bit.
I would almost say if you did it in the order that Sam and you guys decided, Flight of Passage, Safari, and Everest, you would use the fast pass that morning for Everest. Meaning you rope drop Flight of Passage, so you're on that moving line that just like walks its way to the ride. Safari, you might have a little bit of a wait, but you know what? Most people went to Flight of Passage. And then, yeah, Everest is your fast pass. Then you get right on it.
And I think it's important to do Safari at least second so that you get it in the morning, because those animals are so much more active right away in the morning than later in the day.
Right.
Absolutely right.
Lisa, what do you think about this one?
I think it's probably 3 for 3 here. Flight of Passage, followed by Safari, followed by Everest, because I can get that single rider if I need to. My family's totally fine with splitting up in order to enjoy that attraction a couple of times. Flight of Passage and Safari, that was close for me, and probably wouldn't be so close if not for that one day at Magic Kingdom, or a day at Magic Kingdom show, or Animal Kingdom rather.
Right.
A day at Animal Kingdom show. Because now I want to get out there and see those animals and see that safari the way they show it in that show.
Right. Yeah, I agree. We're 4 for 4 on this one as far as what we're going order-wise. And that's my touring plan at Animal Kingdom as it is anyway. Okay, guys, we're going to go one more and we'll be done. I believe Melissa's going to get this one. And where did I have the list of the slow coasters? Okay, so we're going to do these three. We're going to do the we're going to rank 1, 2, 3, Seven Dwarfs Mine Coaster, the Slinky Dog Coaster, or Big Thunder Mountain.
Slinky. I just think that's a fun ride. And even though it's kind of I think it's a mid-tier, you know, like your kiddo is ready to go on a coaster, but maybe not something too extreme. I think it's a moderate slow. That's a good name for it. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a lot of fun. And you, back when they were still building Galaxy's Edge, at the peak of the coaster, you could sneak over a little bit and see what was going on. And so that was my favorite.
Yep.
And then Seven Dwarfs. I love that you can swing back and forth in the ride, and the video that you get on your Magic Band as part of the photo pass is a lot of fun. And then Big Thunder. It's not my favorite. It's a little jerky, kind of out get in the back of the park in that kind of dead end area. It's good, but it's not one that I always hit up at Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Lisa, what do you think about these three?
Oh, I would say number one is Slinky Dog Dash for me. I agree. It's that moderate coaster. I was concerned when they were building it. I thought I don't know whether or not we need another Barnstormer. And right. I definitely didn't think we needed another Rock and Roller Coaster. So I wasn't aware of what it was going to be. But you're right. It is that moderate. And I really like everything about it. Daytime ride, nighttime ride. I think it's a great family attraction. And then I will have to go Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
And followed by Mine Train. And I know that I am in the minority there, but I just can't stand the lap bar on Mine Train.
Yeah, you know, not in the minority.
That video is fantastic, but the look on my face when the video it's pure pain. I am not comfortable at all in that attraction.
Okay. Sam, what do you think?
I'm going with Lisa. I like Slinky, Thunder, and Mine Train. But really, this is whatever my kids want to ride. I'm good for all these. Whatever the kids are riding, I'm riding. And Mine Train, just because Mine Train seems to go by so quick. I love Big Thunder and the three lift heels, and Slinky Dog's got a bunch of interesting things, but it just feels like Snow White goes by so quickly. Mm-hmm. It rides over.
Yeah, it does feel quick. You're right.
Sure. My big con about Seven Dwarfs is that they have such an incredible ride. They have such new technology. And you get to the end and you see the house with the mannequins dancing up and down. Couldn't they have done something a little bit more expressive for that end there? But other than that, yeah, it was a cool ride. Slinky Dog, I liked just for the initial ride on it of the revelations you're seeing, all the different things. The matchbox pulling back on that whole spring-loaded thing at midway through the ride, as you're going through the loops, the different things you saw all over the ride, that the Easter eggs from the toys and things like that. So that makes that a really, really fun ride.
The queue is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely, no doubt. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, Big Thunder, after they redid the queue and cleaned up the ride a little bit and fixed the mine tunnel and stuff. Yeah, that actually kind of went out over Seven Dwarfs, I think. So it kind of goes back and forth.
But that's what's weird right now about the pandemic and coming to Walt Disney World during this time is that you miss a lot of the queue because you are kind of solely going. The last couple times I've been on Toy Story Mania, it's just been straight walk on. And I want to stop and look at the things that I've always stopped and looked at. And it's been a lot of people really like that. But I feel like I'm missing out a little bit on the immersive attraction.
Right. Okay, guys. So that was our first rank 'em 1, 2, 3. What'd you think?
That's good. Liked it. Had fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love that you threw the food in there. That really threw us for a loop a little bit.
I wanted to spin it up. So if we did one for food, I guarantee I'll throw one or two attractions and mix it up that way then. Guys, so what do you think, everybody out there listening? Did you like that? Were you going through your top threes as we went through ours? Let us know what you picked. Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
Damn, he's here again.
Every time.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys, so that's it for show number 377 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Rank 'em 1, 2, 3. Thanks for listening. For Melissa, Sam, Lisa, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Kongaloosh.
So long, everybody.
TTFM. Ta-ta for now.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your